Arthur will say good morning. Today's daf is... Today's daf is Kuf Dalit, but we'll begin the bottom of Kuf Gimel Omid Beis. So we'll say, just remember, reorient ourselves a little bit. We saw in the Mishnah the statement of Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda said that Matzinu Shem Katan Mishem Gadol. Or in other words, Rabbi Yehuda says that if your intent was to go ahead and write a whole name, a larger name, and you ended up only writing two letters from that particular name, that you would be chay. For example, if your intention was to write the name Shimon, and you only wrote Shem, that halacha lemaisa, you would still be chay. So the Gemara questioned this, because the Gemara said, but there are two different mems, right? The mem of Shimon is what we call a mem psucha, an open mem, versus the mem of Shem, which is a mem stuma. And we know that a mem psucha and a mem chasuma are not, or a mem stuma are not interchangeable. And that was the brice that we quoted yesterday. That halacha lemaisa, if you made this mistake in a Sefer Torah, and you went ahead and you, let's say, you were supposed to have what we call a mem sophis, right? An end mem. And instead you wrote a regular mem, an open mem, that halacha lemaisa, that would invalidate the Sefer Torah. So you see from here that these letters are not interchangeable. So how could Rabbi Yehuda therefore say, if he wrote a shim with a mem psucha, a regular mem, like a middle of the word mem, that you would be chayef writing the word shame, when in fact that's not the word shame? To which the Gemara answers the following idea. Huda Amram, four lines up from the bottom, middle of the line. Huda Amar ki hai Tana. Rabbi Huda holds like the following Tana. This Sanya. Rabbi Huda mebeseira. Omra, what's that? This is fascinating. Keep this in your Dvar Torah Rolodex for Sukkis, because this is really good stuff. Rabbi Huda mebeseira says, Ne'emar b'sheni. This is talking about the karbanos by Sukkis. The karbanos by Sukkis. So it says on. Now we also remember on the karbanos on this on the, over the Yom Tov of Sukkis are very interesting, because we offer a series of 70 karbanos over the Yom Tov and we stagger. We actually start with 13 and we work our way down over the course of the Yom Tov. So the Gemara says Ne'emar b'sheni v'niskehem. It says in the pasuk when talking about the karbanos of the second day v'niskehem. Now, in reality, it didn't have to say v'niskehem. It could have just said v'niska. V'niska. So v'niskehem, it's libations plural. So the Gemara says v'niskehem. B'shishi, on the sixth day, it says u'nisacheha. And it's libations. Now, again, in second day, you have an extra mem. In the sixth day, u'nisacheha is spelled with an extra yud. V'shvi'i kemishpatam. And on the seventh day, it says, in accordance with their laws. Now, could it just said, kamishpat? You did. So what do you have? An extra mem. So we'll say again, on day number two, you have an extra mem. On day number six, an extra yud. And on day number seven, an extra mem. Hare mem yud mem mayim. What do we do with this mayim? Mikan remez leniso chamayim minatora. So beautiful. This, I will say, is the scriptural allusion to niso chamayim. Niso chamayim, remember, refers to the water libations. They did something very interesting over the Yom Tov of Sukkis, which was not done the rest of the year. Under normal circumstances, the Sukkim libations, pouring karbanos were only from wine. Sukkis, you did it with water. You did it with water, right? This is the whole Simchas Beis HaShoeva, where they went in and they drew the water and poured it over the Mizbeach. So we'll say, this particular avodah is not explicitly written in the Torah. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, but you see it alluded to in the Pesukim. Umid de Pasuach. So also watch this. So now remember, in this particular case, the mem that Yehuda ben Beseira is using, the first mem, is what? A mem sofit, right? It's a closed mem. And yet the way Rabbi Yehuda is darshaning it is how? Is to make it a mem psucha, I'll make it an open mem. So if you could go ahead and you could darshan and you could make an open mem, a closed mem, into an open mem, then certainly what? Then you would be able to go ahead and interchange an open mem with a closed mem as well. So the Gemara says, me dummy. Mostly the point, all the Gemara is pointing out over here is that we have a Tana, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who feels that the open and closed letters are interchangeable. Once we have that, then Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah makes sense, because then even if you're writing Shem Mishimon, even though the mem that you're using it is a mem pesucha, it's an open mem, halacha lemaisa, you would still be chay for writing the word Shem, even though Shem normally has a mem stuma. To which the Gemara says, one second, me dummy, Pasuach va'asal sasun. If you had a letter that was normally opened, right, when in the middle of the word, but you wrote it sasum, you wrote it as a sophist letter, then top of kufdalit, iluye kama ayale, then in reality you are actually doing something good. You're actually doing something very good for that letter. Good. You're actually doing something very good for that letter. Now, what does that mean? So the Gemara is suggesting over here that closed letters have a higher status than open letters. Now, again, I want to be clear. Meaning that, let's say, a mem sophis, right, the closed mem, has a higher status than the middle of the word mem. So why is that? To Amarav, Darachista, mem v'samech shabaluchos b'neis hayu omdin. Both another amazing Gemara. Rechista says that the mem and the samech that were in the luchos and the tablets stood in a neis, right? Stood miraculously. So what we'll say now, what does that mean? So we're going to see that lemaisa, the luchos were carved all the way through. Which means if the luchos were carved all the way through, then the sophist letters, or the closed letters, must have, by definition, been standing b'neis. Because how else? If they're chiseled in, you understand how they're there. But if it's carved all the way through, then halacha l'maisa, they were standing there miraculously. So the Gemara says, Ela, sasum va'aso'u pasuach. So we'll say, the Gemara is quoting that piece to highlight the idea that the sophist letters have a little bit more of a greater kiddusha. Why? Because they stood in the luchos b'neis. So the Gemara says the following: Ela sasum va'asau pasuach garui kamegarale. So the Gemara says, but rather what do you see? That sasum va'asau pasuach, that if you go ahead and you had a letter that was supposed to be closed, but you wrote it in an open fashion, you are ultimately diminishing the standing of the letter. The Amrav Yirmiyah became Rav Chiya bar Abba minatzpach. So minatzpach means mem nun tzadik pei ches sofim amorum. That literally later Nevi'im instituted them. So the Gemara says, one second, but Tizbira, how can you say that? The Pasuk says, Eila ha-mitzvos, these are the mitzvos. So what does it mean, these are the mitzvos? She'ein ha-Navi roshei lechadish dovra me'ato. Right, that a Navi is not permitted to introduce new mitzvos. Right, a Navi could go ahead and interpret the word of God, a Navi could go ahead and give specific directives, but a Navi is not permitted to introduce new mitzvos. So how can you say that the later Nevi'im actually introduced new letters? Ela, mehava havi meida, meida lo havi yadin hei be'emtza teva, hei besof teva. So the Gemara says, no, it doesn't mean that the later Nevi'im actually instituted these letters. Rather, what does it mean? The letters were known, but over time there was confusion about which letters were sophist letters and which letters were for the middle of the word. And the Nevi'im later on came along and organized which letter is used where. Gemara says, one second, Va'akati. So he says, but that still appears as if the Navi is actually going in and introducing something new. And thus, rather, what happened? Shachachum v'chazru v'yastum. Rather, I will say what happened was all of these letters, of course, were given. Also, you have to understand something. Obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he received the Torah at Har Sinai, was not given a Torah as we have it. We know that, of course, logically. Otherwise, Moshe Rabbeinu was given a Torah, life would have been much easier, right? When the Jewish people approach him to send Meraglim, no problem, let me just open up Parsha Shlach, right? Let's see exactly how this unfolds in Shalom HaYisrael. So obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have a Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu has a body of law. And Gemara Maseches Megillah records that there's a machlokis how the Torah was recorded. So some say Megillah Nitna, that if Moshe Rabbeinu recorded each episode as it occurred, and others say, no, the Torah in its totality was only written down after the 40 years in the desert. Which, of course, then leads to the whole dispute about who wrote the last 7 Pesukim in the Torah that described the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. Was that Moshe himself who was commanded to write about the account of his own death? Was that Yehoshua? Not important for now, but my point just is that the Gemara is saying that apparently, over the years, there was some confusion about the letters. Specifically, when you have letters that have 2 forms, one form in the middle of a word, one form at the end of the word, there was some confusion about which one was used where. Was the Masorah was forgotten, and then later Nevi'im reestablished, or so to speak, remembered that particular Masorah. So the Gemara says, Gufa, Amar Rav Chisda, Mem v'samech shebeluchos b'neis hayu omdin. Rav Chista says that the Mem and the Samech, the Mem and the Samech, the common denominator between the Mem and the Samech is what? That if you think about it, if you're going to carve them out, right, all you have a space and you have that little piece in the center. So if again, if the luchos are carved all the way through, then the only way that little piece in the center was standing b'neis. So the Gemara says, "Va'amar Rav Chista sav shebeluchos." Nikra mi bifnim v'nikra mi bachutz, and this is amazing. Rav Chista says that one of the miracles of the luchos is that the text, the writing, could have been read on either side, right, front or back. Kegon nevuv buvan rahav bahar soru veras. So I'll say, interestingly enough, that Rav Chista quotes this example. Rav Chista uses examples of words that can be read in both directions. The difference over here is that these words are not the same words backwards and forwards. The nes in the luchos was that no matter which side you looked at it, it was the same text. There are words like, what do you call a word that can be read this back same way backwards and forwards?
Palindrome.
So essentially, not that the words of the luchos are a palindrome, but if you want to relate to it, that's what it was like. Meaning, no matter how you looked at the luchos, either side, halacha lemaisa, you were able to see the text. Okay. Amri li Rabban al Rabbi Shoben Levi. This is a fantastic Gemara. So I'll say, now that the Gemara opened the door about letters, the Gemara is going to spend a little bit of time speaking about the Aleph Beis. So So the rabbi said to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi the following: Asu dar deki ha'idna lebe midrasha. The children, the young children, are coming out to the Beis Medrash. Va'amru mili, and they're going to say things. Da'afilu bimei Yeshua benin lo itzmar. So let's say, the Gemara says the Beis Hamikdash is gone, there's no Nevuah. And there are only two groups of people who have Nevuah: Shotim, fools, and children. What is it, it's like that there are certain people who just have a certain purity of spirit, that they're just able to see things that perhaps the rest of us who are not as pure of spirit are not able to see. So comes along Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the Rabbanah to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that the children, Asu Dardiki, the children are coming into the yeshiva now, coming into the Beis Medrash, and they're going to tell us things that even in the days of Yehoshua ben Nun weren't said. So for example, the children always say, Aleph Beis. What's the meaning of Aleph Beis? I will say, you have to understand something. The power of the Hebrew alphabet is in a number of different ways. First of all, just the very names of the letters, as we're going to see, has significance. The shape of the letters has significance as well. So Aleph Beis, what does it mean, Aleph Beis? Aluf Bina. Aluf Bina. What does Aluf Bina mean, Rashi says? Lamud Torah. Aluf means learn. Bina means knowledge. So Aleph Beis, Aluf Bina, learn Torah. Gimel Dalit. What does it mean, Gimel Dalit? Gimul Dalit. Make sure to go ahead, make sure to go ahead and do good, bestow good upon the poor. So the Gemara says, "My taima pshute kari di gimel agabe dalit." Why does the foot of the gimel extend towards the dalit? Right. So we'll say again, if you're writing the gimel, so the foot of the gimel extends. We'll call it leftward towards the dalit. Why is that? Listen to how beautiful this is. Lorutz achar dalit. It tells us that you have to run after the poor. That don't wait for the impoverished to come to you to help them. Make sure to go towards them. This is beautiful. And why is it that the foot or the base of the dalet is extended towards the gimel? We'll say, what does that mean? That if you look at the dalet, so the part that comes down of the dalet is a little bit slanted backwards towards the gimel. So the Gemara says, "Delimtze le nafshe," because if I am the person who needs tzedakah, I should make myself available to the person who's willing to give. Or in other words, don't make the person run after me. Right? If I know that I need, I know the person willing to give, make myself available to the individual who wants to give. Umay taima. Okay, good. Umay taima mahader ape de dalit mi gimel. And why is it that the face of the dalit is turned away from the gimel? The face of the letter is considered to be the open part of the letter. So why is it that, let's say, the back of the dalet is to the gimel, so the face is away from the gimel? Delitin le bitzina. When you go ahead and you give tzedakah, make sure to give tzedakah in a private fashion. Ki heichid lo lichsof minei, in order that the ani not be embarrassed in front of me. Hey vav, so hey, next letter is hey vav. Zesh Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This refers to the name of God. Zayin Ches Tes Yod Chaf Lamed. Im Ata Osekim. If you do these things, meaning if I do what? Aleph Bina, right? Learn Torah. Gemul Dalim. Support the poor. Then what? Then Im Ata Osekim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hey Vav. Zon Oscha. Right? Will sustain me Zayin. Chen Oscha. Will give me favor. Meitiv lecha, tes, will do good for me. V'nosein lecha yerusha, and will give you a beautiful inheritance. V'kosher lecha keser chaf, and will tie for me a crown on my head. Li'olam haba. Amazing. We'll say, let me point that again. This is all the kids. All the kids. So next time your kid comes home from school and you ask them what they learned, and they say nothing. Don't believe them. Manish, this is amazing, amazing stuff. So the Gemara says, mem pesucha, mem stuma. What does it mean that there's an open mem and there's a closed mem? We're going to say that refers to, let's say, a mem in the middle of a letter versus a mem sophis. Ma'amar pasuach, ma'amar sosum. What does it mean? Look at Rashi, almost right across in Rashi. Ma'amar pasuach, ma'amar sosum. Rashi says, yesh devarim, shenitan reshus ledarshan. V'yesh ha'ata mitzuvah lesos makigo ma'aseh merkava. There are certain things in Torah that should be expounded upon, and there are other things that should not be expounded upon. Right, we know certain things, certain more esoteric concepts that we don't expound upon. Nun kufufa, nun pshuta. What do you do with a bent nun and a straight nun? A bent nun and a straight nun. So the Gemara says, ne'eman kafuf, ne'eman pashut. There are some people who are trustworthy and are bent over, and some people who are trustworthy and stand erect. So Rashi says over here, ne'eman kafuf, adam kasher, kasher tzarech lios kafuf, so the way Rashi understands it is that a kosher person, a tzaddik, has to be sometimes kafuf in this world, a little bit hunched over in this world, humbled in this world, in order that he could stand straight in the world to come. Samech ayim, smoch aniim. Support the poor. Support the poor. Lishna achrina, or the other possibility is, simonin asei b'torah, Ukne osa, or the other say that samech ayin is simanin asei b'torah. Make for yourself mnemonics. Make for yourself different devices or ways in which you could remember the Torah, in order that you will retain it. Pei kafufa, pei peshuta. What do you do with a bent pei and a straight pei? Pe pasuach, pe sosum. There are times that you should open your mouth, and there are times that you should close your mouth. Tzadi kafufa v'tzadi peshuta. A tzaddik that's bent and a tzaddik that's straight. Again, I will say these are all references to these letters as they appear in the middle of the word and at the end of the word. Tzaddik kafuf, tzaddik pashut. That there are times in life where the tzaddik is bent over, is humbled, right? But ultimately in olam haba, the tzaddik will stand straight. So the Gemara says, Hainu ne'eman kafuf, ne'eman pashut. But you already used that by nun, right? Isn't tzaddik kafuf, tzaddik pashut the same thing as ne'eman kafuf, ne'eman pashut? Look what the Gemara says. Hosif lecha kfifa al kfifaso. The Torah is coming to add on kfifa al kfifaso. What does that mean? That sometimes in life you have to be exceptionally humble. That sometimes you can't just be humble, but you have to be fully bent over. Mikan shenitna haTorah b'minod rosh. From here we see that the Torah was given minod rosh. Rashi says bereses, literally with quaking, with trembling. Another Yisera, and with incredible humility. Kuf, what does Kuf mean? Kuf is Kadosh. Kuf means holy. Reish, Rasha. My taima mahadir ape the Kuf mireish. Why is it that the face of the Kuf faces away from the Reish? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu ein ani yochol lehistakel b'Rasha. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Kadosh, says, I can't look at the face of the Rasha. My taima said, listen to this. Again, another good vart, you hold on to this. Umay taima mahadra tagei the kuf legabe resh. But why is it that the crown? I'll say, remember, certain letters have a tag, which represents, if you see in the Sefer Torah, it's like that three pronged like sprout that comes out of the top of the letter. So why is it that the tag? Why is it that the crown of the kuf slants towards the resh? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu im chozer bo, because if the resh, which symbolizes the rasha, does tshuva. Ani kosher lo keser kamosi. I will give him my crown. I will give him my crown. So the crown of the Kadosh, the crown of the Kof, is slanted towards the Rasha of the Reish, or the Reish of the Rasha, so that if he does tshuva, his crown is, my crown is his crown. Umay taima kare de kuf tul yerbosei, listen to this. And why is it that the base, right, the base of the kuf is suspended, right? Rabosei, you know how you write a kuf, right? So you write almost what looks like a chaf or a reish, and then you have the line that comes down, but that line is totally detached from the other part of the letter. So why is it that the leg is suspended? Listen to this. De I hoderve li'ayo. Because this way, when the Rasha decides to go ahead and do tshuva, he has a place to enter into the kadosh of the kuf. So the Gemara says the following: v'leol b'hach, let him go in the other way. Look at Rashi: v'leol b'hach, yokiv tachas ragli hakuf, v'yikanis b'pesach shuam. Remember, so just if you're just in your mind's eye, just put a kuf next to a resh. Put a kuf next to a resh. So the Gemara says, why is it that the base of the kuf, right, that line coming down, is detached from the top part of the kuf? So the Gemara says, because if the Rasha decides to do tshuva, he could come right back in. Now the entryway that they're referring to is the space between the top of the kuf and the top of the base. He can enter in right there. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. There's another place to enter. Let the Rasha enter in from the bottom. To which the Gemara says something amazing, so profound, Bosai. Because it supports the view of Reish Lakish. Raz Reish Lakish. Say, Dom Reish Lakish. My do Amr, what does the Pasuk mean? Im leleitzim hu yalitz, ula anovim yitain chayim. What does it mean? That to the fools, he will be foolish, but to the humble, he will give favor. Ba litame, poschin lo. Bosai, klal gadol in life is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you with whatever you want to do. If you want to be metame yourself, right? If you want to defile yourself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you opportunities for that. Balit taher misayim also. But if somebody wants to purify themselves, somebody wants to become kadosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you. How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu help you, Rabosai? He doesn't make you go through the bottom of the kuf. What does he do? He opens up another doorway right close. Because remember, it's, so to speak, it's less distance to go from the resh into that side entranceway than it is to go through the bottom of the letter. Just a profound yisod. That ultimately, when we have a ratzon to come close to the Ribono Shel Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it easier. Not easy, but makes it easier for us. Habal l'tayer, misayim also. Someone wants to purify themselves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help them. Shin sheker. Shin is falsehood. Tov emes. Another, this is mamish gold today. Tav MS. And Tav refers to MS. My timer, sheker mikarvan mile, MS mirachka mile. So we'll say, it's interesting, the letters that comprise sheker are in close proximity to each other within the Hebrew alphabets, right? Shin, Kuf, Resh are all within a couple of letters of each other. And yet MS, pretty much are letters where? Exactly beginning, middle, and end of the alphabet. So why the letters of MS so far apart and letters of Sheker so far together? Well, they listen to this. This is so profound. The Gemara says, Mili, Mili, Shikra, Shchiach. Because the truth is, falsehood and lies, those are found everywhere. Those are found everywhere. Kushta, Lo, Shchiach. Real truth is a little bit more hard to come by. So that's symbolized again by the placement of the letters in the alphabet. So the letters of Sheker are close together because, again, it's easy to find Sheker. But MS, that's a little bit more interspersed among different places. My taima, shikra achad karekai, the MS melavin libune. So the Gemara asks again, it's so amazing. So if you look at the word Sheker and you look at the word MS, so I'll say just the way the words are structured is Shin, Kuf, and Resh come to a point on their bottom. Right? So meaning as they rest, they really rest on the line on one point. Versus MS, each of the letters has a solid base. Right? So Aleph has 2 points on which it stands. Mem, has flat line on the bottom. And Tav also has 2 points on which it stands. So Sheker on one hand only comes to one single point by each of its letters. Versus MS, which the Gemara says, Melavim Levune, literally means stands on a row of bricks. To which the Gemara says, Kushta koi, because it tells you, truth stands. Shikra lo koi. Falsehood does not stand. Amazing. Atbash. We'll say, now the Gemara is going to get into a system called Atbash. Atbash is a is an interesting system where essentially you pair up the first and last letters of the alphabet. So literally, it's Aleph goes with Tav, Beis goes with Shin, and so on and so forth. Now, this system was useful for a number of different things. It was used as a mnemonic for certain memory devices. It was also used for certain drushos, you know, in Hasidic literature. In the Zohar, they use a system of Atbash very often for many different drushos. As Rashi is going to also point out, there are also a number of lettering systems and called mnemonic or memory devices found in the Sefer Yetzira. The Sefer Yetzira is this very esoteric body of knowledge that has to do with the secrets of creation. And all in there, you know, Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan, Zichus Gavracha, has an amazing book about the Hebrew alphabet. I think it's actually called The Hebrew Alphabet. Pretty easy to remember. In which he discusses, again, also based on Sefer Yetzira, just some of these concepts regarding the letters. So in the system of Atbash, the Gemara is going to make some drushes. Atbash, in Ata Bosh. Atbash means if you'll be humbled. If you'll be humbled, or if you'll be literally embarrassed, if you'll be, right? Gimel Reish Dalit Kuf. Again, I will say the Gemara is just going through the pairings of the letters. Im Ata Osikein, if you are humbled, Gur Biduk, then you could go ahead and you could dwell. You could dwell in the heavens. Gur Biduk. You could dwell in the heavens. Good. Heit Sadik Vav Pei. Chatzitza Have Beinach La'af. There will be a chatzitza, a barrier between you and divine fury. Zayin Ayin Ches Samech Tes. And I will say again, just to understand how this is happening, if you just take the two ends of the Hebrew alphabet and just keep moving in, comparing, right, connecting the earlier letter with its corresponding letter at the end of the alphabet, that's the system of Atbash. So again, Zayin goes with Ayin, Ches goes with Samech, Tes goes with Nun. So what does this drasha mean? Ve'in atomiz dazea min ha-satan. You will not, if you are humbled, you will not have to worry about the Satan. Yam Kol, which is Yud Mem Chof Lamid. These again, Abose Rashi points out, these are other pairings of letters from Sefer Yetzirah. This is no longer Atbash, right? These are other pairings of letters from Sefer Yetzirah, to which the Gemara says, Amar Sar Shal Gehenam of Ne'akom, Deshbaruch Ribono Shal Olam, Liyam Kol. So the Sar Shal Gehenam, the ministering angel of Gehenam, says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, throw all of them into the sea of Gehenam, referring to all of humanity. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Achas Bita Jif. Right, Aleph Chas Samech, Beis Tes Ayin, Gimel Yud Fei, Ani Chas Aleihem, I have mercy upon them, Mipnei Shebatu Begif, because they have literally batu, they kicked away the gif. Rashi says gif is niuf, or adultery. That no matter how bad the Jewish people have become, they've been able to go ahead and maintain a moral code which prevents them from committing adultery. Dikatz Dalef Kuf Tzadik, Dakim Heim, Kainim Heim, Tzadikim Heim. Right, ultimately, they are clean, right, they're upright, and they are righteous. Hey, lamid kuf halak, ein lecha chelek bohen. You, Sar Shel Gehenam, have no rights in the Jewish people. Omer razon shas, mem reish zayin nun shintov. Omer genel fe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shal olam mer, Omer Gehenam lifnei ribono shal olam. The Gehenam said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Marie Zanini, my master, feed me, Mizaro Shel Sheis, from the offspring of Sheis, which is Gehenem saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, literally, give me some people, feed me from the offspring of Sheis. Amarlei, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, right, Aleph Lamed, Aleph Lamed, Beis Mem, Gimel Nun Dalet Samoch, Leheichan Olichim, to where will I take the Jewish people? Legan Hadas. Ultimately, to the Garden of the Myrtle, which is a reference to Gan Eden. Hey Ayin Vav Pei, Amr Gehenel Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Gehenem said before God, Ribono Shel Olam Ayef Anochi. So Gehenem's literally complaining to God that Gehenem does not get enough people. Mamish, God, you're not meeting your Gehenem quota, right? So I'm not getting enough people. So Ayef Anochi literally means, it's actually borrowing from the Pasuk in the Torah, where Esav says, right, I need something to eat. Ayif, Anochi, I'm faint, I'm going to die. So Gehenem says, I'm mamish, I'm faint, because you don't give me any people. Zayin Tzadik, Cheskuf, Halolu Zaro Shal Yitzchok. You can't have the Jewish people because they are the offspring of Yitzchok. Tav Reish Yud Shin Chaf Tav Tar Yeshli. Tar Yeshli. Wait, why? Yeshli Kitos Kitos Shal Obdi Kochavim Shani Nosin Lecha. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Gehenem, don't worry, you will have your fill. Your fill will come from the idolaters in this world. Okay. Says the Mishnah. We'll say pretty intense Gemara. Okay. So says the Mishnah. Back to a little bit more of back to our regularly scheduled program. Right. So the Mishnah says the following. Hakosesh teosios. If one writes two letters behelam echad in one helam in one lap, schayif yachayif. Kasav b'dio b'sam b'sikra b'kumusu b'kan konsum. It's right. Obviously, we'll define all of these things in the Gemara. But if you go ahead and you write with any of these types of ink. Right, and any item that leaves a mark, or ashne kosle zavios, or you write two letters on two different walls. Let's say walls come together in a corner, and you write something on each corner of the wall. So, or ashne levache pinkas, or on two pages of a ledger, vehein negin zeimze. But the two letters are read with one another. So, let's say the idea is what the Mishnah is pointing out over here is the two letters don't necessarily have to be in the same exact space. But they must be in close enough proximity to each other that what? That they would be read as one entity. Hakosev al besaro chayiv, if one writes on his flesh, you're chayiv. Because again, Rabbi, remember, what we've seen over here so far is that in order to be chayiv for kosev on Shabbos, you have to write with an ink that will endure on a surface that will endure. See when ultimately, over time, the oils of the body will get rid of that which is writing on. But remember, it doesn't have to endure forever. The idea is that it endures at least for some significant amount of time. Hamisarit al-Bisaro. What happens if Chas v'Shalom, one goes ahead and literally lacerates oneself? So let's say, I cut myself in a way in which I write two letters on my flesh. I write something on my body. Literally, right? Rashi points out, either again with Michtav or Besid. You could do it with lime. I guess lime has some like of a burning quality, whatever type of lime they're using. Or again, michtab means some type of sharp instrument. But I literally cut myself and write something on my flesh. Rabbi Eliezer Merchai Rabbi Eliezer says Mechayiv Mechayiv Chatos Vechachamim Poch Nechachamim Sean Potter. We'll see why that is. Kasav B'Mashkin Meme Peros Vavak Drachim Vavak Asofrin. If a person writes on Shabbos letters, either with liquids or with fruit juices, with dirt of the roads, or with the leftover dust that's in the inkwell. Ubechol darshin miskayim. The common denominator of all these things is that the writing does not endure. Daloch is potter, in your potter. Li'achar yado, if you write with the back of your hand. Biraglo, with your foot. Bifiv, with your mouth. Bemarfiko, with your elbow. Then all of these cases, right? Or next. Kasav os achas samuch leksav, or you had one letter already written beforehand, and you wrote one additional letter, or ksav al gabe ksav, or you traced a letter on top of an already existing letter, or niskavin lichtov ches, the kasav be zainin, right? Or you went ahead and what? Well, so you had in mind to go ahead and write a ches, but you ended up writing what? Two zains. Well, so remember, the way you write a ches in the Torah is essentially two zains. Right, so you had a mind to write a ches, but you ended up writing two zayins. Achos ba'aretz va'achos b'korah. Or you wrote one letter on the roof and one letter on the ground. Or one letter on the ground, one letter on the roof. Or kosav al be kos lehabayis va'al shene dape pinkas ve'ein negin zayimze. Or you write one letter on two walls. Or one letter on two different pages of the ledger. But the letters are not read together. In all of these cases, pater. We'll define, obviously, all of these cases in the Mishnah. Kasav os achas no trika. Well, this is an interesting case. What happens if you went ahead and you wrote one letter, but the letter is no trika? What does that mean? No trika is a meaningful symbol, right? Or a mnemonic device. The idea is you write one letter that really represents a word. Represents a word. So look at Rashi just a moment. Kasav os achas al shem no trikun. Sha'asa simen nekuda ale alomar. Shalahavin ba teva shlem kisavas. So let's say there's a particular letter, but everyone knows that when that letter is written, that letter always represents a word. So what happens to Rebbe Abbas? Remember, it's only one thing that you're writing. But the one thing that you're writing what? Represents a word in its entirety. So is that called ksiva or not? to which the Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseira Mechayiv, Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseira says, Rechayiv, Vechacham Potter, and Chacham say it's Potter. So says the Gemara, Dio, Diosa. Dio is black ink, Sam is an ink from some type of grass root. Sikra is a red ink. Amar Rabbi Bar Rachana, Sikrasa Shma. Its name is called Sikrasa. Kumus, Kuma. Kumus is an ink that's made from a gum. Kankansum. What is Kankansum? Amar Rabbi Bar Rachana, Amar Shmuel, Charsa Du'ushpachi. Charsa Du'ushpachi literally means a shoemaker's blackening. Which means Charsa Du'ushpachi means what the shoemaker uses, what he rubs on the leather in order to go ahead and give it a clear black color. Ubechol davar shu roshem, but shechayiv for writing with anything that leaves a mark. La'asuye mai, what did this come to include? La'asuye hadetani Rabbi Chanina, because it comes to include that Rabbi Chanina taught. Kasvu b'mei tariya. If a person writes it with mei tariya, I will say mei tariya is rainwater. Rashi says, actually Rashi quotes two girsos. Mei tariya, yesh omrim min pri. The brisa that the Gemara is quoting over here, in the name of Rabbi Chanina, or I should say the Mishnah, is talking about by a get. Now, a get has to be written with ink that will endure on a writing surface that will retain the writing. So, for example, the Mishnah says that if you went ahead and you wrote a get with mei tariya, with rainwater, or afatsa is gallnut juice, right? The gallnut is a type of nut. So you can apparently make liquid that you can make into ink from the gallnut. So if you wrote a get with rainwater, and obviously it's not to be talking about dirty rainwater. And obviously if it's clean rainwater, so what are you gonna do? So you go ahead and you write it with dirty rainwater or with this gallnut juice, kasha, the get is good. Now I will say if the get is good, what does that mean for our purposes? If the get is good, it means that it's a ksiva, right? It's a lasting dio, it's a lasting ink, and therefore aloch lais should be chayiv for ksiva and Shabbos. So the Gemara goes weiter. Tani Rabbi Chiya kasvu be'ever. If you went ahead and you wrote on Shabbos, Aver Rabosai is. Aver is lead. Is lead. If, I'm sorry? You have Avak?
Yeah.
Everybody has Avak? Okay. You have it. Tani Rabbi Chiya Kasu Be. You have Avak? Wow. Okay. That's interesting. Okay. I guess if everybody else has it, I don't, I must be wrong. Has Avar. But what does it say in the side of the Gemara? It also says Avar. I have Avar. You also have Avar. You have Avar. Huh, okay. Well, the truth is, it could be, meaning if you look at Rashi, Rashi says Avar ba'oferes. So that means dirt. That means dirt. Umashchir.
Rashi on there says Aver. The Gemara says Aver. Rashi says
Aver. Yeah, I have Aver both places. Okay. Okay. You guys should have splurged for the deluxe Gemaras. That's all I can say. All right. Whatever it is. Rashi points out two different girsos. Rashi says Ba'oferes. Umashchir kishu mishafshef oferes ala klap. So oferes could mean dust. Aver means lead. Okay. Either way, the point is it endures. Whatever it is, b'shachor, shachor means charcoal, u'b'shichor, shichor means again this shoemaker blackening stuff, that which they use to make the shoes black, in all of these cases kosher. So again, remember, it's talking specifically about get. So it means if you wrote a get with these items, the get would be kosher, and it means for Shabbos purposes, you'd be chayiv for ksiva. Hamisasis avos rabos, this is fascinating. So if somebody etches something into their skin, so remember we had a machlokis in the Mishnah as to whether or not you're chayiv. Tanya, amr lahen Rabbi Eliezer lechachom. So Rabbi Eliezer ben, Rabbi Eliezer, who was it? No, just Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that you're chayiv. If you write something in your skin, and the Chachamim say you're potter. So Amar Lahen Rabbi Eliezer the Chachamim, Vahalo ben Sitra, or Sitda, excuse me, Hotzi Kshafim in Mitzrayim, Bisrita. So apparently there was this guy, Ben Sitda, who took certain black magic out of Mitzrayim by writing the spells on his skin. So he took out some of the kishuv by writing the spells on his skin. Look at Rashi. Hotzik shavim shelo hayu yachalo tzian ksuvim shahayu achar tumin botkin kolayotzim sheyotziu kshavim lelandem lebnei medina achar. So also, this is interesting that apparently even when the Jews left Mitzrayim, the chartumim, right, the sorcerers of Paro, were careful that none of the black magic was taken from Egypt. So apparently this guy Ben Sitta smuggled out some of the kishuv by writing it on his flesh. So Rabbi Eliezer says, what do you see from there? You see from there that writing on flesh is considered what? To be a normative act, and therefore we chai for it on Shabbos. What do the Chacham say? Amrlo shotem haya. What are you talking about? This guy is a nut, right? Ben Sitta was a nut. Ve'ein mevi'en raya min ha-shotem. And I say this every day, right? You can't bring rayas from crazy people. You can't bring rayas from shotim. Sure, you'll find shotim are going to do all kinds of stuff, but just because the shotim does it does not establish it as the norm. And therefore, again, the chacham and paskin that your potter, which is indeed how the shulchan aruch paskin as well. Just do a little bit weiter. Kasav os achos samof liksav. If you went ahead and you wrote one letter next to an already existing letter, so the Mishnah says your potter man tana. Whose opinion does this affect? Amar Rav Bar Rav Huna. The lo Rabbi Eliezer. I'll tell you who it's not. It's not Rabbi Eliezer. The Rabbi Eliezer ha'omer achos ala arig chayiv. Because Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that aloch lemaisa, if you were to even add in one stitch in the weaving process, he would be chayiv. Rabbi Eliezer is one who feels that when you contribute to an already meaningful process that has begun, you are chayiv for that contribution. Therefore, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you would also be chayiv for what? You would be chayiv for going ahead and even writing one letter next to an already existing letter, because that letter then constitutes the unit. Ksav agabe ksav. So what happens if you write one letter on top of another letter? Man tana, amrav chizdiluk Rabbi Yehuda. This does not affect the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Desanya, hari shahaya tzarech lichtov es Hashem, v'niskavin lichtov Yehuda, v'ta'av lo hitl bol dalis. So I will say an interesting case. Let's say you're supposed to write the name of Hashem, but you made a mistake and you're ready to write Yehuda. But you made a mistake in writing Yehuda, and what did you write? You wrote the name of Hashem, you left out the Dalet. So you wrote a Yud Hey, a Vav, and now you're ready to write another Hey, right? So what do you do? The problem is, if you write Shem Hashem without the right Kavana, that's not a proper writing of the Shem. So what do? Ma'avir alav kulmus umekansho divir Rabbi Yehuda. You know what all you need to do is? Write over the letter again, and this time with the proper Kavana, and it's good. Those are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim say, Ein Hashem min amuvchar. This name is not preferred. So I will say, the point over here is, you see that our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, writing over an already existing letter is considered to be a significant act. So just like you would be able to infuse the name of Hashem with the proper Kavanah, so to according to Rabbi Yehuda, on Shabbos, if you wrote over an already existing letter, you would also be chayiv. Our Mishnah reflects the view of the Chachamim that hold that just like by Sefer Torah Hashem Hashem that wouldn't work, so too by Shabbos that's not considered to be a substantive act of Ksiva. We'll pick up over here tomorrow, Mirza Hashem.